Thank you for allowing me to be here again. It's always a privilege to come and to share God's word with you. I know throughout the day when God brings to my mind the New Life Fellowship, I always offer up a prayer for you. I understand firsthand what you guys are experiencing in the transition period as far as pastors go, and I know that God is faithful and God will lead you in the direction that he'd have this church go. So we just lift up the church board and the people of this great church, and I appreciate you allowing me to come to minister to you in this capacity. How do you get God's approval? By being religious and going to church? Well, that's good, but no. How about by keeping the Ten Commandments? Well, we should do that, but no, that's not how you get God's approval. How about being more good than bad? Well, it's good to be good, but no, that's not how you get God's approval. How about trying to be perfect? I've tried that. Very frustrating. That's not how you get God's approval. The Bible says that there is only one way to get God's approval. There is only one way to put a smile on God's face. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, says this, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Faith is what pleases God in our everyday lives. The only way you can get God's approval is through faith. You may be a great person, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You may do some wonderful things in the church and in the community, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Probably the best definition of faith is found in Hebrews 11, verse 1, and I'm going to paraphrase all the different translations because there are many translations and they all say something a little bit different, but I've got a couple of my own right here. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things not yet seen. Another way of saying it is this: faith is the confident assurance that God is in control of my life and that he has a purpose for me. And then faith is building your life on the fact that God is in control and that God will fulfill his promises even when you don't see the end results. Faith isn't making a good guess with our best human effort. Faith is not taking a blind step of faith. Faith is believing the promises of God, even when there is nothing to show for it. What we're going to look at today is how to build a life of faith. How do we develop that faithful life that God talks about in his word? There is one man in the Bible who stands out as a model of faith. His name is Abraham. He is what we would call a model of faith. Abraham is viewed throughout the scriptures as a model of faith. In fact, in the Old Testament, Genesis 15, verse 6 tells us this, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord declared him righteous because of his faith." If you look at the life of Abraham, he was far from perfect. When he lived his life, he was one of those individuals that occasionally would lie. And at one time, he tried to give away his wife to save his own life. But under pressure, he didn't always do that which was right. In James 2:23 tells us that Abraham was called a friend of God despite all of his failures, despite all of his faults. God considered him faithful because of his faithfulness to God. God called him righteous because of his faithfulness, despite all of his failures, all of his faults. And it was because of his faith in God. In Hebrews 11, no one person gets more attention than Abraham. In fact, Hebrews 11 mentions three different episodes of the life of Abraham. We look at Hebrews 11 as a hall of faith. You've probably heard of the Hall of Fame, but this is the Hall of Faith, the faithful men that are listed and women in Hebrews chapter 11. Mentions three episodes, and I want us to look at these three episodes and see if we can develop a life of faith that we can live today. And the first one is this: faith is obeying even when I don't understand it. That's the first secret of developing a life of faith. You've got to obey before you understand it. Now, that's hard to do, isn't it? That's probably hard for all of us to take that step of faith, as they say. Now, there are two people in this room that react to things differently. There's those that are spontaneous. You're not worried about 10 minutes from now. You are just living in the here and now. You're just worrying about what's going on right now. What's happening in my life right now as I speak? You're probably even wondering what the score of the game is right now. And Trevor says we can't tell him what it is because he's got a DVR and he doesn't want to know what the score is. So we will not tell him, even if you know. But there's also those of us who like to kind of have our life planned out. I like to know what's going on this next week. At work, I have kind of a work schedule. I like to know what I've got going on tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. I plan out my week. Some of us like to do that, have our life laid out in front of us, have ourselves some goals set, and know what we want to do in the near future. But most of us, even if we are spontaneous or even if we do plan everything out, we want to have a basic outline or an understanding of the information that we need to know to go forward. We kind of want to say, God, what's in the future for me? What do you want me to do in my life? How do you want me to go forward in the decisions that I have to make? And it is important that we do seek God every day for his counsel and for his guidance and for his direction. We need to seek God when we have the major decisions to be made, not only as you as a church, but as families and in individuals. What does God have for me a year from now, 2 years from now? What does he have for me this next week? We kind of need to know, don't we? Most of us want to know what is in store for us as we follow God and seek his way. But I want us to meet Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. Verses 8, 9, and 10. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. When we encounter Abraham here in the book of Hebrews, he is living in an area that we would call Iraq today. He is 75 years old. He's getting ready for his old age pension. He's getting ready to just sit back and relax, just take it easy the rest of his life. And then God comes along and tells him to make a move. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. This is what God says to Abraham. Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. Abraham said, God, where am I going? God said, Abraham, I'll tell you when you get there. Abraham said, how long will it take to get there? God said, don't worry about that. You'll know when you get there. Abraham said, how will I know when I'm there? God said, I'll tell you when you're there. Can you imagine taking a step of faith like that? God calls you to go somewhere that you don't even know where you're going, that you're just heading out there. You have no idea. I remember when Ann and I took that step and went to Bible college, when God called me into the ministry, we knew where we were going. We were going to Colorado Springs to our Bible college. We knew we were going to pack things up and head there. Yes, there was a lot of fear and questions that we had because we were leaving family. Neither one of us had really been away from our families. So it really was a huge move for us with three young boys to tag along with us. And so we headed out in a way, in a sense, to the unknown. But we also know that God was leading us, and we know that God was faithful. But here is Abraham called to go somewhere where he doesn't know where he's going. He just said, God said to pack up, we're going. And off they go. So Abraham was asked to make a major move with very little information to go on. So what would you do? How would you handle a call like that? Would you have the faith to make this move? Because Abraham obeyed. Even when he didn't understand, he became the father of a great nation called Israel. And because of him, multitudes of people were blessed. And God used this great nation, and he is still using the great nation of Israel today. But many people were blessed because Abraham had the faith to go when God told him and asked him to go. You see, Abraham did have a choice. Abraham could have said, you know what, I'm pretty comfortable right here in my hometown where my family is. We've kind of set up a nice little business going here with sheep and goats and animals and all kinds of things. And you know what, I'm kind of old. I just want to kind of cruise through life and just finish my life right here. But God had other plans for him, and God used him in a mighty way. But the problem for most of us, we lack the courage to go. We want all the information first. We want to know how the roadmap ahead of us is going to lay out. We kind of want to know where our stops are going to be along the way. What are we going to encounter in our life? We want to be able to have it all, as they say, written in the sky for us before we take a step of faith. But what we have to realize is that when God separated the sea with Moses, God asked Moses to just hold up his staff and the water separated. When Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan River, God asked the priest to step their foot into the water before he parted the water for them. Sometimes God asks us to make a move without having all the information that we need to have. And sometimes that's not a bad way to go, is it? Sometimes faith is the right way to go, and you feel right about it. And you know that it's going to be a difficult road. You know you're going to have some struggles along the way. But sometimes being in the center of God's will, in fact, I'm going to say always being in the center of God's will is the best place to be. Even if you're going where you're not sure where you're going, you're just trusting God that he's going to lead you in the future and that you just step out in faith and you follow where he calls. But even when Abraham reached the promised land, he wasn't home free. Acts chapter 7, verse 5 tells us that when Abraham got to the land, God gave him no inheritance here, not even one square feet of land. Abraham had to wait. Not only did he have to wait, his children and grandchildren had to wait. Abraham risked all that he had on a promise. What a great concept, isn't it? That he trusted God and risk everything he had for a promise. When I think about that, my mind goes to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise for each one of us. And we can risk our life because of that promise that we will have eternal life with him. That's a risk I'm willing to take. And I pray that that's a risk you are willing to take. And it's going to take us down some roads that we may not be real comfortable with. We may be out of our comfort zone. We may be put in situations that we kind of wonder what's going on. But God is faithful. And God is faithful to his promises. And he will see us through. So he risked all that he had for a promise. He left what he had for the unknown. He stepped out in faith, even though he didn't understand it, because he had the confident assurance that God was in control of his life, and God had a purpose for his life. God has a purpose for each one of us individually, and my purpose is different than yours, and the next to you, and the next to you. God has a distinct plan and purpose for each one of our lives. First and foremost, to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and commit our lives to him. To be a disciple, to make a disciple, to be a witness and a testimony to God's love to those around us, in the grocery store, at work, in our neighborhood, wherever we might be, God wants to use you and me to share the good news that God loves us and that God has a plan for each one of our lives. Sometimes people want a guarantee before they're willing to accept and follow God's direction for their life, before they obey him. They read something in the Bible and they say, okay, God, show me. You lead me step by step before I take that step of faith. And God says, no, there's no guarantee. You take a step of faith and I'll be with you every step of the way. I will lead you and guide you through the unknown. You see, if we have it all laid out in front of us, that doesn't require any faith. But God wants us to take that step of faith when we're not sure where we're going. He wants us to believe even when we can't see, and obey even when we don't understand and have all the facts. Now, do you remember when you were a child and your parents told you to do some things, and you just kind of like, you know what, my parents want to take all the fun out of my life. They just want me to just do nothing all day long. And it wasn't until you got older that you look back in your life and you go, you know what? My parents knew exactly what I needed. They knew that I would have gotten in trouble if I would have went down this particular road. They kind of formed a V and led you into the right direction because they had a purpose for you. They wanted you to grow up and to be a mature, responsible adult and to follow the teachings of God. And so they helped guide and direct you in that way. How much more is God concerned about us? The creator of each one of us. We have his Bible, the manual for each one of us that we can read and study. You know, really, God does give us so many resources that we can draw from. We have a body of believers here that we can find encouragement from and fellowship with. We have people that we can study God's word with in Bible studies and prayer time, and we can just encourage and lift up one another. What an awesome God we have. And if we ignore God's word, if we ignore what God is doing in and through our lives, it's not hurting God, it's hurting me. I'm the one that's losing out. And so I need to be faithful to God. I need to be the one that takes that step and get involved in people's lives, get involved in the church, and be ready to do what God would ask me to do. And here's the point. If you learn to do whatever God asks you to do, God will bless your life, and you will find fulfillment being obedient to God. He will pour out his blessings upon your life. He will help you build a life of faith. What has God called you to do that you don't understand today? Maybe today you need to take that step of faith, and you need to go forward, and you need to seek his direction and obey him even when you don't understand. You need to follow Abraham and make that move of obedience. There's a second secret that we need to understand if we're going to build a life of faith, and that is this. Faith is believing even when I can't see it. What is one thing that you think is impossible for you to do? Maybe it would be being a CEO or flying a jet, or maybe it's being a running back in the NFL. That'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? What is something that you would imagine to be impossible for you to do? Now, if you asked Abraham a couple thousand years ago, asked Abraham and Sarah, what do you think would be impossible for you two? And the first thing they would say would be to have a child. Because at the time, it was impossible. It wasn't for lack of trying. They tried their whole life. And sometimes we don't understand God's ways, but God has a purpose in everything in our lives. And so they have tried and tried to have children. In fact, it got to the point where they'd kind of given up hope, and Sarah gave one of her servants to Abraham, and at 86 years old, Abraham brought a child to Sarah's maidservant. They took matters into their own hands. They got ahead of God. But the one thing they would have said is there was no way that Abraham and Sarah could have had children. It was impossible. The main problem here with Abraham not having a child is that God had made a promise with Abraham. He had made a covenant with Abraham that Abraham would be a father of many nations, but there was one problem. He didn't have a son. So what was Abraham to do? So when Sarah offered, he took it, but it wasn't what God wanted. And so he still had to wait a little longer. And this was a serious promise that God had given to Abraham about this son. And Abraham had to wait until the time was right. And this is one of those times that I'm sure that Abraham wanted to say, "Time out, God. I got to take a look at this. Something's not right here. You're telling me that I'm going to be a father of a great nation, but yet I have no son. Something needs to happen here if this is going to happen." In fact, I'm pretty sure Abraham was just probably pretty frustrated after God had sent him from his hometown into the promised land, and especially without a son when he was going to be the father of a great nation. But we need to realize that both Abraham and Sarah struggled with this idea, this concept of not having a child. And then you ever wonder why sometimes God put your life on hold? Doesn't that happen sometimes that you just kind of go into neutrals like, "God, what's next? What do you have for my life? What's out there for me? Show me your way. Show me which direction you'd have me to go. Help me to make the right decision in my life." That's how Abraham and Sarah felt. In fact, it got to the point where they didn't think that God had not called them. They thought that God had hung up the phone. It got that bad for them that they didn't think God was even out there anymore. Where is God when he makes all these promises and nothing happens? But the thing about Abraham was that he was a patient man as well. And in the due time, God was faithful. But at the time, he could not understand how it was ever going to happen. It was crazy for him and Sarah to think that they would be able to have a child at the age that they were. But Abraham and Sarah weren't perfect in their struggles. In fact, when the angels finally told Abraham that he would have a son by Sarah, Sarah laughed. Well, wouldn't you have laughed? Of course you would have laughed. Here he is getting close to 100 years old. And God says, "Okay, it's time." It's like, "What? You couldn't do this when I was 40, 50, 60, 80? But 100 years old, God finally fulfilled his promise to Abraham and Sarah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. "By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." I tell you right now, that's a lot of people. When you try to figure that one out, that's a lot of people. Abraham believed that God would keep his promise. And once again, Abraham had the faith and the confidence assurance that God would keep his promise and that God would fulfill the purpose that he had for his life and that God was in control. And God has a purpose for each one of our lives. And God is never in a hurry. Now, sometimes we get in a hurry. Sometimes we want to have answers like right away. But God is never in a hurry. There are two principles you need to understand when we are put in that position, when it seems like God has put us on hold. And the first principle is this: waiting time is never wasted time. Waiting time is never wasted time. God is seldom in a rush. He's seldom in a hurry. Abraham had to wait until he was 100 years old. You may have to wait to do something that God has asked you to do, but God hasn't given up. God will keep his promises to you. Your waiting time is never wasted time. So what is God doing while we wait? Oh, he's doing a lot of things. God is helping us mature in preparation for what he has called us to do, to receive the promise. God is testing us to see how faithful and committed we are to him. God is working behind the scenes to prepare the way for us and what he would have us do. God is using circumstances to position you to be able to fulfill the promise that he has called you to do. There are things that maybe God has called you to do that things have to get lined up first before they happen. It's always amazing to me when you look back at your life, and you can start seeing that when you go through some difficult times, you can see where first of all, you weren't ready, you weren't mature, you weren't in any state of mind to be able to handle the situation that he may have called you to do. But what happens is you realize as you look back that, oh, this had to take place, this had to take place, this person had to go here. Even if you think about it in different positions and jobs that you may have received in your life, that somebody may have had to retire or maybe even get fired before you were able to get promoted or move up in another position. But circumstances have to happen in order for God to be able to use our circumstances in our lives to put us where he wants us to be. And so the waiting time is never wasted time. God is always working and preparing the way for us. The other principle you need to understand when we are waiting for God to lead us is this. God is not just the God of the what. God is the God of the how. And what do I mean by that? God specializes in things thought impossible. Aren't you glad for that? He is a God who specializes in things thought impossible. Somebody once said, what God originates, he orchestrates. God is in charge of our lives as we are faithful to him. And we need to allow him the time to guide and direct us, to show us the direction he'd have us to go. God said, Abraham, you're going to have a baby. Abraham said, how? God said, don't worry about the how. I'll take care of the how. And God was faithful and took care of the how. The problem is that Abraham couldn't see how that was going to happen just because of circumstances. And so Abraham, as I mentioned, began working on his own to take matters into his own hands. And I can tell you by personal experience, when you take things into your own hands, you're going to mess it up. It's natural. I mean, yeah, I'm going to do it my way. Well, you can do it for a while, but your way will catch up to you. Because if it's not God's way, it will not work. And you will be frustrated. You'll have all kinds of heartache because you're taking matters into your own hand. You've got to wait for God to guide and direct your life. And what we have to understand that there is a reason for everything that happens in our lives. And when God gives the what, he will give the how to each one of us. God specializes in doing the impossible. He wants to do something great in your life that it can only be explained by divine intervention. And when you look back, you've probably seen God work in your life in that way, haven't you? That God just intervened and took care of the matter that maybe you have been fretting about. You were worrying about something, and God just intervened and took care of it for you. Sometimes God does that with our prayer requests for physical touch, doesn't he? For healing, for emotional stress. Sometimes God just meets those needs for us because God is faithful and God has a purpose in every experience that we go through in our life. And we know that God is in control of the future and we sometimes have to just turn it over to him and let him lead and direct our lives and he'll take care of the house. So what is faith? It is obeying him even when I don't understand it. It is believing even when I don't see it. And then there's one more secret to develop a life of faith, and that is faith is sacrificing from the heart. Faith is all about giving God what we value most. Whatever we possess and what we value most, God wants us to give to Him. Whether that's your money, your family, your reputation, or whatever it may be. And the irony is that it's really not ours until we've given it to God. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, though God had promised him. Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham assured that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. You probably remember the story, probably more so when we were children. We always had this story about Abraham offering up his son, Isaac. This is probably one of the most confusing and troublesome passages in the Bible. But when you stop to consider that it had nothing to do with God wanting Abraham to make a human sacrifice, that's not what the intent was. That's not what their purpose was. That was not anything to do with what Abraham and Isaac went up to the mountain to do. It all had to do with Abraham's heart. How much did Abraham love God? How much did Abraham love God in the sense that God had given him this son, this promised son, his one and only son? And God had asked him to offer him up as a sacrifice. You see, God wanted to see what was in the heart of Abraham. Abraham, do you really love me? Do you love me so much that you'd be willing to offer your only son to me as a sacrifice? And we know the story. I mean, it was right there. He was ready to go. And God stopped him. But we also know that Abram had the faith that if he would have had to gone through it, that God would have raised him from the dead. That's a lot of faith, isn't it? Abraham believed God would take care of it, even if he did go through with it. But aren't you glad that God intervened, and God intervenes in our lives, and that He stops us sometimes from doing things that would be harmful to us and would not be good for us? But one of the things that each one of us have to understand, that when it comes to our relationship to God and building a life of faith, somewhere along the line, God's going to offer, ask us to make a sacrifice, to give up something that maybe we are trying to hold on to. You see, God's not going to play second fiddle to anybody. God wants to be first. And if something else has taken priority in our life and has taken first place in our life, God's not going to accept that. God wants to be first. The Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all these other things will be added unto us. But we are to seek God first. And that's what Abraham was doing. He was obeying God. There's no way he understood what was going on. There's no way Isaac understood what was going on. But God was faithful and saw him through. Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. You see, we are to give up our own life and to turn our life over to God. And He is obedient. And He will give us, as the Bible says, the desires of our heart. He will give us what's best for us as we serve Him. Do you want to live a life of faith? Then you need to begin today with the confident assurance that God is in control of your life and that He has a purpose for your life. And that's going to involve obeying Him even when you don't see the results. That's going to involve believing even when you can't see the end results. Because it is a step of faith. It is believing God because He is faithful and that He does have a purpose for each one of our lives. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the example that we have of Abraham, a great man of faith that was considered righteous before You. And Father, he got that way because he trusted You, he believed You, he obeyed You. And Father, I pray that each one of us here today will search our hearts. Father, if there's areas in my life that I'm not putting You first, I ask that You'd help me to put You first in every area of my life. And Father, I know that sometimes the road is rough ahead, but we know that if we focus on You and not on the situation, not on my problems, but we focus on you and we rely on your word and we rely on prayer and we rely on fellowship with one another, that you are faithful and you will see us through. So, Father, we thank you today that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And may we all be considered faithful because of the righteousness that we have and the right living that we live today for you. And we commit our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen.